You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, guys. Here until 6 today. We're going to be back, but this ends our residency as we've been here literally every open practice throughout the course of camp. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, glad to have you guys listening and hanging out with us. Today we had joint practices up at Flowery Branch, and we will talk more about what we saw, what impressed us, and what went down. I will say this, though. I've seen some videos, Mike, Calvin Ridley running a couple of routes on A.J. Terrell. And, you know, Ridley, again, guys, he was always a gifted receiver. We knew that. Then went through some of the issues, and watching some of the video, he still got it, man. I mean, look, we maybe don't watch as much about Ridley or of Ridley since he left here, but he still got it, and going up against our corners today, still showing that. But our offense, Mike, looked really good, and to me, that was the storyline today because we're all wondering what this offense is going to look like against another team with Michael Penix.
Right. I said to Carl, I pulled up here about 9:30 this morning, and just as the Tennessee buses were rolling in, they basically came up here Saturday, so they've been kicking it. You may, as I said to you yesterday, Carl, you may have had Titans walking amongst you. But they rolled in. They got off the bus. They went right to their practice ritual, and next thing you know, we had our ones going up against their ones on two different fields, our one defense going up against Cam Ward in the offense, and vice versa. And one of the first plays, you know, typical Bijan doing his thing, and then we get some play action, and it was a beautiful throw. Michael Penix Jr. to Casey Washington. The ball was in the air for 40 yards. Looks like any of those great throws you saw him do at Washington.
It's true.
Catches him in stride. It goes for, according to our man Mark Ramondi from ESPN.com, a 52-yard touchdown. Beautiful. I mean, and that was what set the tone, and then we were kind of rolling from there.
Yeah, man.
There were some holding penalties and some missed throws on the second series, but still, there was enough to really give us a lot to feel good about.
I did feel good about what I saw with the first team O-line. Holes were there. Bijan was doing his thing, guys. When you talk about being able to run the ball, again, they're not taking guys down to the ground. But when you say, okay, he's picking up on average four yards a pop, you know, he's patient when he gets in the hole and he's kind of looking and trying to figure out what's open, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. But that was there today. But I also like, Mike, the underneath throws from Michael Penix today. Those were throws that you're going to have to make on Sunday where they're running zone and guys break down and get, you know, they settle into a spot and you got to hit them. And Penix has really done a good job, guys. We talked a little bit about this last year. I think it was the Washington game where he moved a linebacker with his eyes, thinking I'm going to go here, and the plays to the left, and I'm looking right, and all of a sudden I go back. He did it a couple of times a day. He has really got that down where he makes you think he's going where you think he's looking. And that is a veteran kind of thing for a quarterback. So there's a lot of reasons to be excited, man. But I felt good about what we saw from the first team offense.
Yeah, man. Now, again, second team offense, that's where we get some trouble. Storm Norton's been a little bit behind the curve in the way I think we described Jalen Walker, because he's missed some practices because of an injury. So the second team, the depth just isn't there. I mean, the depth, they have bodies, but the quality isn't there. They've got some trouble in the middle of the line. I think that's why they went and reached out to get another center to maybe create some competition for Gwynn.
Yeah.
You know, Parker's a mountain of a man at 6'8". You can't miss him, but his footwork leaves a little something to be desired. So our second team offense, but this goes for any team, maybe with the exception possibly of the Eagles or, I don't know, maybe the Rams, whoever. But we, like anybody else, Carl, cannot afford to lose anything on that offensive line. That concerns me. The other thing, and I said to Carl last hour, if you missed the conversation, is Darnell Mooney and the status of the injury. They're not giving us any information. Did he have a procedure? Is he just simply resting it? Is it going to be ready by? I mean, because what's the deal? Because Darnell Mooney is an explosively fast guy who, unfortunately, because Kirk Cousins went off the rails, he would have been a 1,100-yard receiver last year. Mooney missed the last game of the year with an injury.
Yeah, we're missing, Mike, his ability to stretch the field. I've always thought you'd have Kyle be able to maneuver the underneath stuff. That next level is Drake, and that's right. Where he's working. And then down the field, right, you got three levels, guys. This is where Darnell Mooney was going to excel. And if you're hitting this underneath stuff and you got to come up and defend the run with Bijan and Tyler Algier, all of a sudden, Mike, that stuff over the top is going to hit. I don't know if that's going to be present maybe the first week, maybe right. Two. We don't know if he's going to be back. And that's what we're talking about. Doesn't mean the offense won't move the ball. Doesn't mean we won't score. But you're taking an element away, and now you got to fill the void. And Mike and I have been saying, who's that guy? I really like the job that Casey Washington has done. But that's not to say other guys have not stepped up and played really well.
Right. I mean, guys that have been around this team for a couple of years, like Blair, number 19. We talked about, you know, Drummond had a couple of nice catches on Friday against the Lions before that game ended because of the injury. But I just get a little nervous about this because, as we said, DJ Shark, that was a kind of an insurance policy, but he hasn't really established himself. At least, have you seen anything with Shark?
No.
Day-Day, have you seen anything? No, he's shaking his head. The other thing today, and this is something which, you know, like, I'm not harping on. Guy hit me up on the text line, goes, now you're picking on Rook. No. I just want Rook to be the best. Want Rook to be the badass you drafted him to be. Because you could have had Braden Fisk.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams went and got a guy, put him with Jared Verse. I mean, that's like the argument with Troy Anderson. We could have had Nick Benito, but we had to do something else. So the second round is always a great mystery. The reason I bring up Rook is Jeff Ulbrich addressed the media, Carl, this afternoon. He says Rook is going to be a problem once he pieces everything together. So what's the timeline on that?
That's a good question. I'm hoping it's before we get to the start of the season. Look, I think Rook's very close. He spoke today afterwards. He said he was comfortable as he's been. When you talk about, you know, in his own skin and understanding, like, what his responsibilities are. And you're going to hear this, guys, and we're not, like, over-exaggerating this. It's Dukes and Bell live from Hooters up at the Mall of Georgia location talking about what happened at camp today with these joint practices with the Titans. You're going to hear this phrase, attacking-style defense.
Right.
That is what we're doing. And what that simply means is the guys up front, instead of having a gap, Mike, I get to get upfield and make something happen, okay? And that's why you're saying you want him to be disruptive and you want him to be noticeable, and maybe that's why you don't feel like Rook has been that. I hope that whatever this is going to be, they figure it out before we get to Tampa Bay.
Right. And then the other side of this, we mentioned Rook, Jalen Walker. Ken Segura was up there today from the AJC. He wrote an article that has been posted by the AJC about Jalen Walker's impact is muted thus far. Is he where he needs to be or wants to be? No, he's not. But he's going to get there because of that internal drive, the stuff that we made us draft him at 15 because he's got the Georgia DNA. He's a self-starter. He's super impressive. He's a leader. But again, Carl, there's just a little gap there as far as the reps and the practice days that he's missed, which perhaps is why we haven't seen him explosively or at least popping the way we've at times talked about Pierce.
So do you guys remember before the draft when I was talking about size matters and how I would take Mike Hill over?
Right.
Jalen, this is part of what that discussion was about. One of the reasons why, and listen, I'm not talking about what he's doing with the 49ers, and I'm not regretting getting Jalen Walker. But when we talked about this, this is what I was talking about when you talk about 6'5", Mike, 295, whatever he is, and being able to settle in on the edge, and now you're bringing in a guy who's a hybrid. Okay,
who's 6'1",
because that's what he is.
Right.
Not saying his ability's not there. We know he's a playmaker, but it's a different kind of element. And now you're asking him again, and I've been saying this, and this is why I got to be patient. You're asking him to do some different things. They're going to create ways for him to cause havoc, but this is just not a dude you go, I need you on the right side, handle your business. That's not what they're doing with it.
Right, and that's why, I mean, we had even guys hitting us up on the text line that were at practice today saying, Jalen's getting smothered. He is getting swallowed up at times by good tackles. We've seen that happen in our practices, and it did happen on some of the video that's been posted today by some of the media members. I understand your concerns. No, we're not. He's not going to be I don't think, Carl, they're going to cut bait after 3 weeks. This guy is projected to be out there on the edge. So don't take
what
we're saying.
He'll be fine. I'm just telling you that's the fundamental difference when you start talking about why you draft this guy over that guy.
You can't coach 6'5 and two and the kind of things at Pierce brings. And that's why I said at the night of the draft, who knows? Pierce might actually be the guy, because of all the things you just talked about, the better fit. But Jalen, guys, we're not crapping on George. We're not crapping on Jalen. Guys, their antenna go up. It was funny. We had all the media and all the, even the Tennessee guys are joking around. Whatever we tweet, you know there's going to be a firestorm because people take it and they run with it. Just Jalen, I'll attribute this to the fact that he's missed some time in practice.
I do too. And again, I'm not all off him. I'm not thinking this is not going to work. I just know that there is a learning process that he's going through, and I'm okay with that. And this is where you want that to happen. You know, this is why I was concerned about him missing those reps early on. And it wasn't like he didn't want to play. Matter of fact, Raheem told us, guys, every day he was like, Coach, I'm in there today, right? You got me. And Raheem was like, no, because we don't want this to linger through the course of the season. We want you to feel completely healthy. So they held him out probably longer than they needed to, but they wanted to be cautious with him. 404-726-0929. You're going to hear our interview with Cordero Hodge coming up in about 20 minutes. Grant's on the way as well to talk some Braves as they start a series with the Mets. Mets are sliding, and it's Spencer Strider tonight. We'll get into that conversation and talk about where the Braves are as well. The good news is, guys, and just on the other side of the ball, because we're talking about the offensive side, DBs did a good job today. And I'm talking about this video with Calvin Ridley. But as I said, today Jesse Bates did have an interception in the joint practices today.
Right.
And it shouldn't surprise you. Jesse Bates has been Jesse Bates, okay? Whatever we've become to expect from him, that's what he's been showing in practice, and Jesse does his business. But Cam Ward, who's the number one overall pick in this year's draft, it was a ball that was tipped in the air by cornerback A.J. Terrell, and so, you know, they got that. Xavier Watts appeared to have a clear shot at the interception, and then Bates ran over and you know, made the play. But the bottom line is, like, the secondary didn't get embarrassed today,
right,
and Cam Ward didn't tear us up. That's encouraging, Mike, when we have all these competitions going on in the secondary for nickel and, you know, we talk about the dime package and, or more importantly, the other side with the cornerbacks and what that's going to look like. There is a true battle going on over there. So it's good to know that those guys were communicating, talking, and making plays yesterday or today.
Yeah, man, and I know that it's a work in progress to see these guys develop. The funny play today, and it was near the end of the segment, we had everybody, that's when all the teams came together, right on the main field.
Yes.
When Cam Ward throws a ball that gets deflected, and it was literally like, we had Xavier Watts on after we drafted him from Notre Dame. He goes, I'm out of my game after Jesse Bates. Well, him and Jesse Bates are back there, and the ball's up in the air, Carl. It seemed like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and like Bates is like, me? You? And Xavier's like, no, you take it. And so then he clears out the space. He makes a key block. And that would have been a pick. We've seen this before, right? Jesse Bates winning a football game. But that's the kind of stuff we got to see already today at the scrimmage. I loved it.
I did too. So, look, if you're asking areas of concern, not many today. I thought the DBs did a good job. Creating turnovers and knocking balls out or passes down is great. Offensively, if we were moving the ball, if this was that, and we had to move the ball down the field, we would have been able to do that, especially with the first team. And Mike and I said this, first team offense is great. The concern is depth. If, in fact, we have an injury occur, how does that O-line get affected, and who is going to be the swing guys? You mentioned, you continue to talk about Storm Norton not being out there. Like,
right,
that's the concern. So that's why we're watching closely this second offensive line.
My biggest beef, it's Mooney. I think Diablo is pretty good. I mean, I've only seen a little bit.
I do too.
But Diablo seems to be a dude that, you know, looks like he can do the job. We know Caden Ellis and Ulbrich's, you know, defense. I think they are going to give him a chance to really pin his ears back a little bit more. And that'll be great. And that's what you want. You know, on days, and I know you talked about Brian Baldinger saying, you said he needed a bigger sample size. But there were some times at practice today where,
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get there. Let's finish. You know, are we finishing enough? Hopefully we'll do that tomorrow. See those edge rushers get some more of what would be counted as sacks.
We need more of them. Hey, man, Grant McCauley is going to join us. Braves-Mets tonight, 7 o'clock, Spencer Strider. We'll talk to him about Spencer's last start. He needs to improve, guys. If he's going to be out there, Mike, we need to see progress. That's what I've told you. I want to see progress from all these guys who have been struggling to the end of the season if you're going to have them out there. We'll talk to Grant next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.